If you work in IP, you know that getting the language wrong isn't a quality issue, it's a legal one. AI is raising those stakes, but it's also opening up a new way of thinking about how global portfolios get built and protected. Let's dive right in with James Lacey, CEO of Protect at AWS. A first question for you, James, would be contextual intelligence isn't the first thing that comes to mind when talking about IP workflows, right? Why is it so critical when it comes to IP? Why is it something we need to talk about?
Absolutely. Having the right contextual intelligence is absolutely key to managing IP workflows and portfolios effectively. Traditionally, service providers think of a case linked to a particular service. Mm-hmm. So a service provider might think of a case attached to a patent search, an invalidation search, or to a patent filing, or to a patent renewal. But from a portfolio manager's perspective, having the right context is absolutely key. So a portfolio can be viewed as a series of events or transactions across the IP portfolio lifecycle. So that's mm-hmm. really how we need to think about the context when managing an IP portfolio. These series of events can have a profound effect on what happens with the next event. Mm-hmm. So for example, in the patent drafting process, you know, having a clear link to the invention submission process further upstream can have a profound effect on the patent attorney determining the scope of the patent claim, which substantially influences the patent application. Another example might be that, you know, if you're recording an ownership update, it's really important to have any oversight of data that is held at a particular patent and trademark office ahead of recording the ownership update. Having oversight of that data, having the context of that data and the right ownership details removes further friction downstream, where, you know, it might be apparent that the ownership details are incorrect at the PTO. So I'd say having the right context in the context of managing your IP portfolio is absolutely critical.
Mm-hmm. So IP portfolio decisions don't exist in isolation. How do contextual considerations factor into managing those decisions across multiple jurisdictions?
Absolutely. I was recently in Taiwan, where I met a chief IP counsel of a leading technology company in Taiwan. And how he framed the context here was quite profound. He said to me that, you know, James, in the context of IP, we're often viewed as a cost center, managing a set of legal rights. And in that sense, we're very much viewed as a cost center. So we've actually changed the term from managing intellectual property to managing intellectual assets. And I think that's quite a subtle but profound change, in that, you know, managing intellectual assets really drives home the strategic importance of managing the value of your IP. And like in that context, we're seeing that context now at the forefront of managing IP portfolios and mm-hmm. IP strategy. So, for example, if you're managing your brand portfolio, it's really key to have sales and commercial data so that you can really understand the value of your brand before you decide on particular sort of takedown action. Similarly, in the patent space, if you can understand the value of your patent portfolio, this really drives the right decision making when taking decisions on which patent activity you might want to litigate against or not, depending upon the commercial value of your patent portfolio.
IP is a very special domain when we talk about accurate, right? The quality. Who decides what accurate enough means? Is it ever accurate enough? What are your views on this?
Yeah, so who decides on whether it's accurate or not? That's very much in the hands of each local patent and trademark office. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in some cases where there is litigation proceedings, it might be in the hands of the relevant patent court associated to a particular jurisdiction. At RWS, we place enormous value on getting it right, because the impact of not getting it right, of not getting it accurate, can be profound. However, we also need to be pragmatic and balance that against speed and efficiency. So there might be certain examples where a patent document needs to be translated for information only. With that particular example in mind, we say to our clients that just having a machine translation capability to get the gist of the translation associated to the document is good enough. However, there are other examples where the impact of getting it wrong can be profound. So particularly in the jurisdictions of Poland, Turkey, Italy, etc. In some instances, getting the translation wrong can lead to revocation activity and render the patent indefensible if the patent translation is incorrect.
This is super interesting. So you actually have like a place where you can go and see, in that case, it needs to be like this. Like, is there a score or something? Like, how do you measure that?
Yeah, there's not a score per se. But if I just give you an example, just to bring this to life, so. There's a recent litigation for a European patent application where the source language was Finnish and it was translated into English.
Okay.
Now, in this particular example, the translation from Finnish was circular, but it was interpreted as round. And the appropriate court, the appropriate governing body, ruled that translating just from circular to round, which you would assume would be relatively similar, fundamentally alters the scope of the patent. And the outcome was that the patent was revoked. So, like, our advice is that we need to consider the relevant use case and we need to match the right service level to the right use case. There are examples where just having a gist of a translation is good enough, but there are other examples where you absolutely cannot get it wrong, otherwise it fundamentally alters the scope, or in extreme cases ensures that your patent is revoked and invalid.
Okay, that's really interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So IP leaders are being asked to manage more complexity, to go faster with the same resources. How do you actually make sure that you're not cutting corners on that contextual intelligence that protects you, that actually protects you? How do you make sure that doesn't happen?
So I can actually speak on behalf of the respondents of the survey. By far, the most sort of primary use case for AI in IP that we're seeing IP professionals use is to drive efficiency, automation, to drive productivity.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, at RWS, we've, over the past 12 months, seen an increase in filing applications that we review by 16% in the field of European patent validations. Additionally, in the field of translations, we now use machine translation as our default position in order to drive efficiency and cost effectiveness for our customers. But always be a human in the loop to check the outputs of the machine translation capability. I think the best analogy that I've heard regarding machine translations mm-hmm. in the IP industry is that you always have to have humans in the loop to help check the context and to help check the outcome. Coming back to the analogy that I've heard is that you wouldn't be able to use a calculator without understanding the math that sits behind it. So it's absolutely fundamental to know the context and what sits behind the machine translation in the first instance. Typically, we are seeing more and more efficiency use cases within the IP industry where we're seeing IP professionals make use of AI to streamline and to automate processes to focus on higher value add activity.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is not just for IP. If you talk to anyone working with AI, everyone agrees to say that you need the human in the loop to make it work, you know? So that makes sense. What would you say to a general counsel or chief IP officer who's starting to incorporate AI into their IP workflows? If you had one thing to say to them, maybe something they wouldn't see until it's too late, a piece of advice, what would you say?
So I would absolutely encourage chief IP officers or general counsel to embed AI into their portfolio management mm-hmm. practices. Absolutely. I would say I'd give actually two pieces of advice. Mm-hmm. The first would be to consider the use case, consider what you are trying to achieve. Don't just use AI for the sake of using AI. So from a use case perspective, there are probably three streams to the use case. So we've talked a little bit about automation. So is my overall use case the need to drive efficiency, mm-hmm. Productivity? The second aspect of the use case will be how AI can assist IP professionals in their workflow. Yeah. So by this particular use case, I mean how AI can assist the flow of workflows across the IP portfolio. So a good example of an AI-assisted approach might be in the field of patent drafting.
Yeah.
And third, and I think this is probably the most reticent area that we see today in terms of AI use cases, is how can AI transform my IP operation, or how can it transform our IP strategy? And by that, I mean, how can we really use AI to drive some strategic value and strategic decisions when deciding how to manage our IP portfolio? The second bit of advice I'd give to chief IP officers and general counsel is to always ensure that we have the appropriate guardrails in place. And yeah, as I've described before, having the context, having the human in the loop is always going to be key to having the right guardrails in place.
You feel like, I guess it's the case in any highly regulated industry, but do you feel like people in IP are still a bit reluctant to AI because it's so, you know, regulated?
Yeah, like I think IP, rightly or wrongly, has been perceived as quite a conservative industry. Yeah. But I mean, I've visited many clients over the past 12 months in many key markets, and AI is absolutely a key enabler mm-hmm. within the IP industry. Whenever I speak to clients, AI is a hot topic and mm-hmm. a hot focus. So I think that in terms of the IP industry as a whole, it's very much ready to embrace the benefits that AI can bring to managing an IP portfolio. The challenge that I'm seeing with IP professionals is, like, how do we select the right AI use case? Yeah. How do we select the right tools? And how do we drive the right outcomes? Mm-hmm. When the cost of getting it wrong can be so immense. High. So I'm certainly seeing an appetite to embrace AI in the IP industry. I think the next few months we'll see how that AI is being embraced to drive real commercial outcomes mm-hmm. and you know, drive the value of what are essentially strategic assets.
Yeah, that's good to know. That's interesting. A last question would be, as AI takes on more of the execution in IP workflows, where do you see human expertise and contextual expertise be more and more important in comparison?
Sure. So if we just break it down into those use cases of automating, assisting, and transforming, I think in each of those use cases, human in the loop plays a pivotal part in each of those use cases. So for the automation use case, humans are required in the loop to really select and design the process steps that are to be automated. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but you know, as we're looking to automate process steps, there'll be much more of a rigor and much more of a focus on quality control. So even though the human in the loop needs to be really embedded in designing the automation of process steps, they also need to be deeply embedded in ensuring there are guardrails and quality controls in place to ensure that the process is still working as intended.
Yeah.
Or the use case of assist. Assist is essentially a patent attorney being a co-pilot. So the more sort of upfront input that a patent attorney might have into the patent drafting process, mm-hmm. then the more accurate your patent draft is going to be. So really in the use case of assist, giving the patent attorney or portfolio manager more upfront control regarding the inputs mm-hmm. really then impacts the quality of your downstream output. Finally, the transform layer is really the ultimate goal where the IP professional or a portfolio manager really moves away from performing manual tasks, mm-hmm. where they move away from tasks such as docketing and case management to really defining strategic decision and insights and managing the overall system of managing a portfolio effectively. That is essentially where the transform use case of AI can take IP professionals.
Thank you, James. Thank you for being here. Stay tuned for the next episode.
Thank you.